Lark Returning by Elizabeth McNeil and read by Angela Ness for Saga Egmont. Blaise, Scotland, October 1812.
Where am I?
He wondered and focused his eyes to look ahead. On the horizon he could see a line of softly rounded hills, their flanks covered with thick beechwoods. It was autumn, and in the dying year brilliance of the sun, the trees seemed to be on fire, glowing in brilliant red, gold, yellow and orange. Perhaps it would have been better if he had died among the sun-baked lavender bushes on the plain outside Ciudad Rodrigo, for death in ambush would not be as shaming as the months he had spent as a prisoner, handed over by the Spanish to the British. Blaise Chardonnel was a very proud Frenchman, and the shame of being taken a prisoner by the boorish British bit hard into his soul. He had nothing but contempt for his new captors. With 200 other prisoners of war, he had arrived at the port of Leith, and disembarked in front of the usual jeering crowd of loafers on a stone jetty lined along one side with stinking alehouses.
"Here's another frog. Oh my, this is a bonny one, isn't it? Look at his fancy jacket. Hey, froggy, where did our lads get you?"
cried a group of ragged women as Blaise marched down the gangplank, deliberately straightening his shoulders as he went. The march up a steep hill to Edinburgh was even more shaming, because women and children lined the route, waving flags and chanting insults. He wanted to stop in the middle of the slimy, muck-covered cobbles and shout back at them, taunting them with their savagery and their filth. But he stared ahead, blank-eyed, trying not to hear their voices. Yesterday they had stopped for the night at Valleyfield, about 2 hours' march out of Edinburgh. There, penned up like animals in stone sheds, were many Frenchmen, some of whom he knew and had fought alongside in Spain. But his own journey was not yet finished. With 90 other officers, he was selected to march on for 30 miles more, into the southern hinterlands of Scotland, to a town called Melrose. He knew the authorities always chose isolated places to station prisoners on parole, because they were far from ports and escape was difficult. But that would be a challenge, thought Blaise. He would get away, he would foil them. Now he walked alone, head high, one hand gripping the shoulder strap of his knapsack, and the other holding a red-covered bundle bound round and round with rope. His scarlet hussar's jacket was patched and stained, with the intricately looped gilt epaulettes unravelling in spite of the care he had taken to repair them. But 9 months in captivity had levied a heavy toll on his once dandified appearance. Behind him, he heard the clatter of a horse's hooves on the loose stones of the road, and one of the escort troop rode up on him. The man leaned down from the horse's back and pushed at Blaise with his long staff, yelling,
"Get a move on, keep up with the others."
"Don't touch me, you peasant," he spat out in French, using his bundle to thrust the stave aside. The man on the horse did not understand what the prisoner was saying, and for a moment he contemplated bringing the stave down hard on the Frenchman's dark head. But there was something in the eyes staring back at him that intimidated the guard, something that warned him against violence or bullying. He drew back his arm and said gruffly, before riding off,
"Just keep up, that's all. Keep up with the others."
It was dark as he stumbled up the slow rise of a twisting street, lined with houses, to a square and a market cross where a brazier was burning, and a group of men awaited the new arrivals. French voices greeted him.
"Welcome, brothers. Welcome, citizens. Welcome to Melrose. You've come to the best place to be a prisoner."
A ruddy-faced fellow of about his own age, eyes alight with friendship and goodwill, came up to Blaise and helped him off with his knapsack.